Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the ancient gospel for the morning of Christmas Eve, which is found in the first chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. I believe that the word which best describes the worship of the church during these last hours before Christmas comes is the word expectation. That note of expectation is wonderfully expressed in some words of the old Latin liturgy for this day. Today you shall know that the Lord will come, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. Tomorrow the iniquity of the earth shall be blotted out, and the Savior of the world shall reign over us. Yes, the word which best describes the church's worship during these last hours before the Christmas festival is the word expectation. And because that is so, our worship this morning invites us to reflect on life as expectation. It's very clear that the very last thing Joseph was expecting was the child conceived in Mary's womb. Joseph knew that the child was not his, and the Jewish law gave him the right to denounce his fiancée as one presumably guilty of fornication. But St. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, and therefore decided to break off the engagement privately. But then a heavenly messenger appears to Joseph in a dream with the amazing news that the child in Mary's womb has no human father, but has been conceived in her by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the child to be born is to be named Jesus, for he will save their people from their sins. Not at all what Joseph was expecting, but something more wonderful than he could ever have expected or imagined. The lowly maiden he'd chosen to be his bride had in fact been chosen by God himself to be the mother of the Savior. And so what had looked so negative, so shattering, the disappointment of all Joseph's hopes and expectations, in fact proved to be the beginning of the world's salvation. St. Matthew tells us that all this took place to fulfill what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. So what can we expect of life? Or more precisely, what can we expect of God? I suspect the first thing that needs to be said in answer to that question is what a wiser and older pastor said to me years ago in a moment of disappointment and self-pity. He just said, "Charles, God isn't Santa Claus." I have to confess that at the time I resented the comment, even though I knew it was true. For God doesn't exist to do our will. We exist to do His will. God doesn't exist to do our will. We exist to do His will, which is, although not always obviously, a good and gracious will. As St. Paul writes, "In all things God works for good with those who love Him." And the disappointment of our expectations can lead to a far better fulfillment, a greater trust in God, a deeper sense of His presence and sustaining care. God brought great good out of the disappointment of Joseph's expectations. And through the death of God's Son, joy has come to the whole world. So what then can we expect of life? Or more precisely, what then can we expect of God? His gracious and sustaining presence, whatever comes our way. And how do we know that? Because He came among us in the flesh as Jesus, our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we Christians live our lives in expectation, not so much of something as of someone. We expect Jesus to be our Emmanuel, God with us. And we expect Him to come in grace and mercy every day, and we expect Him to come in the end of life, the end of the world. The creed in which we are about to confess our faith, in fact, ends on that note of expectation. I look for, the Latin text actually says expecto. I expect, I await, I desire, I eagerly look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And I look for, I expect that wonderful fulfillment because I have already experienced in some measure the life and the joy that awaits us in the end. Oh, that faith and expectation is often enough beclouded by life's fuss and bother. And at times it seems as if we are drowning in all our pressing daily cares and concerns. But we can never completely forget that joy, that new life that has already begun to shine in us. and we can therefore never completely abandon our joyful expectation of its fulfillment. This morning, we expect with joy the yearly celebration of our Savior's first coming in humility as the child of Mary. But all the joy of the Christmas festival, which begins this night, is only a pale reflection of the inexpressible joy which will fill the whole creation when that same Lord comes again in glory and makes all things new. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.